Collins. Peter B. Collins News and Comment. It's Wednesday, July 26, 2017. I just want to pay tribute to my brother's dog, Alfie, a Bedlington Terrier who had 13 fine years and went to sleep yesterday. So long, Alfie. You were a good one. And today on the podcast, I want to focus on the emerging dictatorial attempts by the comb-over dude who's in the White House today. Because Trump this morning shocked a lot of people by issuing a decree via Twitter banning transgender persons from serving in the military in any capacity. And he did it claiming that unnamed generals advised him that this was the right course of action. But it flies in the face of Pentagon studies that show that the claims of the president are patently false. That we already have thousands of transgender persons serving in the military without real problems, and that the so-called cost issues of transgender surgeries are not that big a deal, particularly in a Pentagon budget that realistically is $1 trillion a year. And so Trump here is distracting, he's pandering, and he imagines that facts don't matter, that he can simply create the reality that fits the prejudices of the voters who comprise his base. And so he says that the military cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. And he claims that he consulted with generals and military experts. And at the end of his three-blast tweet, he said, thank you. Thank you for what? I mean, this is just so insulting, not only to transgender persons and others who are not part of the sexual majority of heterosexuals. And it creates real complications because we already have people who are openly serving as transgender based on the decisions that were announced over a year ago by the previous Defense Secretary, Ashton Carter. Now, a year ago, June, Carter technically lifted the ban immediately, but he said the military needed another 12 months to implement all of the needed adjustments. And the new Defense Secretary, Mad Dog Mattis, extended that deadline by an extra 6 months, despite the fact that the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the chairman there, had said he had no plans to change the policy just 11 days earlier. Now, it's not clear if Mattis himself was consulted, if he agrees with this decision. It's hinted that he did receive a heads up, but he is apparently on a brief vacation and not available for comment. And Vice News dug up a tweet from the Trumpster, dated 14 June 2016. Thank you to the LGBT community. I will fight for you while Hillary brings in more people that will threaten your freedoms and beliefs. Now, maybe he didn't know what the T stood for in LGBT. But this is pure pandering, pure prejudice. And it is delivered in such a naked way that you have to think that this guy has delusions, that he's an autocrat. And that he can just tell us how it's going to be. Well, there's going to be a furious backlash, a lot of lawsuits, and he will regret taking action in this manner. And let's keep in mind that Barack Obama was not a big hero to transgender persons. He did repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in 2011. That, of course, was the result of Bill Clinton's big blunder on his day one in 1993. when he said that gays could serve openly, and then members of his own party, including Sam Nunn, senator from Georgia, said, "No way, Billy Boy." And we ended up with, what, 18 years of that bastardized don't ask, don't tell policy. Last July, Carter made the announcement. He said, "We have transgender soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, real patriotic Americans, who I know are being hurt by an outdated, confusing, inconsistent approach that's contrary to our value of service and individual merit." So then he had the RAND Corporation conduct a study, which concluded that allowing transgender people to serve openly would cost little and have no significant impact on unit readiness. They estimate there are 2,450 active duty members, currently transgender, predicted that around 65 would seek to transition each year at a cost of a maximum of about $4 million a year, which is pennies to the Pentagon. Now, I don't know how Trump, just by tweeting, can overturn the order that was made by Defense Secretary Carter. Effective immediately, this is June 30th last year, transgender Americans may serve openly. They can no longer be discharged or otherwise separated from the military just for being transgender. And this year at graduation time from the service academies, a little loophole or a glitch was discovered because two transgender cadets, one at West Point, the other at the Air Force Academy, were denied their commissions because in the transgender policy of the Pentagon, it only covered active duty service members, and I guess people at the academies don't qualify technically for that. So why would Trump do this? Is it to distract from his efforts to set a chain of events in motion to fire Jeff Sessions and put a pliable attorney general in who would kill the Trump-Russia investigation? Is it to distract from the onerous activities of the Senate Republicans desperately trying to repeal Obamacare, consigning millions of Americans to ill health, poverty, and possible death? I don't know. But this dictatorial streak is something that I'm calling out, and I have some other stories that fit that frame that we'll get to in a moment. But the reaction to this was kind of predictable. Democrats, of course, pounced on Trump for this discriminatory move. And even John McCain, who we'll deal with in a moment, he said transgender individuals already serving should be allowed to remain. There is no reason to force service members who are able to fight, train, and deploy to leave the military regardless of their gender identity. And Republican Cuban-American congresswoman from Florida, Ileana Rose Lehtinen, who has a transgender son, said no American, no matter their sexual orientation or gender identity, should be prohibited from the honor and privilege of serving our nation. And I won't bore you with the comments from Democrats and liberals because they're all pretty predictable. But the Progressive Congress Action Fund sent me a statement that I think is worth noting here. On this day in 1948, President Harry Truman announced the integration of the armed forces. Today, President Trump announced via a tweet that transgender people will now be barred from serving in the military, quote, in any capacity. This is purely based on prejudice, not on military readiness or concern for the safety and security of our troops. A person's ability to serve has nothing to do with gender identity or expression. This ban is discriminatory and dangerous, will prohibit able-bodied people from enlisting or continuing to serve in the armed forces. And they note that it comes in the middle of a blatant attempt to deprive millions of people access to affordable health care by repealing Obamacare. Now, here is another dictatorial move by the Trump administration. It comes from Health and Human Services, run by the ultra-conservative Tom Price. And this is front page news on the San Francisco Chronicle today. The Trump administration has abruptly slashed federal funding for programs to reduce teenage pregnancy rates, including three Bay Area projects that had been promised money under the Obama administration to operate through 2020. Yes, they were given a five-year grant, and these are being cut short by at least 2 years by decree. Congress didn't authorize this. There was no warning to these agencies that their funding was on the line. And the Health and Human Services Office of Adolescent Health, headed by a Bible thumper named Valerie Huber. She has long complained that Obama's anti-teenage pregnancy programs don't focus on encouraging youths to abstain from sex. And we know that promoting abstinence is very effective. Just ask Sarah Palin's daughter. I can't remember which one it is, but she I think, had two babies while she was being paid to promote abstinence. And maybe it was only one. Forgive me, I get fuzzy when it comes to the Palins. But I'm sure that Trump Co.'s ready to trot her out again in a ridiculous effort to try to persuade young people to keep their junk zipped up. And we know that that does not work. We also know that ending these programs will lead to more unwanted teen pregnancies. In some cases, it will lead to more cases of abortion, which is, of course, the thing that these Bible-thumping Republicans oppose the most. But they're willing to overlook the expansion of the number of people with sexually transmitted diseases, with undiagnosed cancers or other reproductive illnesses. And it is so idiotic. And it can only be explained as a way of trying to solidify the political support of extreme radical Christianists in this country. Here's another dictatorial move. The new spin doctor at the White House, Anthony Scaramucci, apparently he doesn't like to be called Tony. Well, he has announced that he has a mandate from the president to purge aides he believes are disloyal to Trump and leaking to the press. I think those are two separate issues, but the leaks, of course, really piss off Trump. And I would argue that not all of these leaks are coming from the White House. A few. But I think far more of them come from the Capitol Hill committees of intelligence who have access to reports from the intelligence community. And I also believe that there are many leakers who are past and present members of various intelligence agencies. But Scaramucci is kind of getting his Goebbels on. Joseph Goebbels was the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler. And Scaramucci is a propagandist. He has actually proposed a daily infomercial that the White House would produce itself in place of the press briefings where pesky reporters pepper them with questions that are so inconvenient and distracting. Now, here's another act of a dictator. Trump, for the third consecutive day, fired off nasty tweets about Jeff Sessions. And this one really, it causes trouble for your humble host. Because I think Jeff Sessions is a low-life turd. He never should have been named Attorney General. And so to see him threatened with losing his job, on one level, gives me a great deal of pleasure. I know Trump will find somebody even worse, a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal idiot, maybe Rudy Giuliani, if he does make the move to replace Sessions. But I also object to this public shaming, to this bullying of a man who has shown nothing but loyalty, and again, it's, sentiment, but the wrong reason, the wrong motivation for it. Trump is unhinged. And he doesn't seem to realize that by putting Jeff Sessions into these public stocks via Twitter, and by using false arguments about Hillary Clinton and about McCabe, the FBI's acting director, Trump is really hurting himself, including with fellow Republicans. And the issue about Andrew McCabe, I'm not a big fan of his. His wife ran for the state Senate in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, who is a bagman, former bagman for the Clintons. He raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think he kicked in about $400,000 to Mrs. McCabe's political campaign. She didn't win. But Hillary Clinton had nothing to do with it. And Trump repeats in these tweets. These are the ones from today. Why didn't AG Sessions replace acting director, FBI director Andrew McCabe, a Comey friend who was in charge of Clinton investigation but got big dollars for his wife's political run from Hillary Clinton and her representatives? So now somebody got to him. Yesterday, it was, you know, claimed by Trump in a tweet that the money came directly from Hillary. And so why is he so obsessed? And does he think that Jeff Sessions could have replaced the acting FBI director while he claimed to be recusing himself from anything related to Trump-Russia? Because the president himself admitted that the cause for firing James Comey was not the way he handled the Hillary Clinton investigation, as formally claimed, but it was because of the Russia investigation. And this is where, you know, Trump just is operating in his own orbit. And as we've discussed, he claims that, Sessions should have recused himself. Well, he recused himself on March 2nd. And Trump said, well, if he was going to do that, he should have told me beforehand and I wouldn't have hired him. But he nominated him in November or December. And so Trump plays fast and loose, even with the facts that he should be aware of because they relate to him and decisions and moves that he made. And his remorse over Sessions is, I think, an example of his insecurity and his willingness to trample all kinds of precedents and policies and the law in order to get his way. And now little Jeff Beauregard, Jim Crow Sessions III, he's so desperate to hold on to his job that yesterday he announced new threats against sanctuary cities. And it's kind of an empty threat because courts have ruled that there are very few funds that the attorney general could actually cut off from sanctuary cities. Now, going forward, he could persuade Congress to include new restrictions in grants that could be used to punish sanctuary cities in the future. But that's not there yet, and this is just grandstanding, hoping to appease the Stern Father in the White House. And Stern Father is the characterization of Republican aspirations for leaders that comes from George Lakoff, the linguistics professor from the University of California at Berkeley. Now, there's a ripple effect here as well, because Rexxon Tillerson, who has been playing Secretary of State in the Trump team, Trump reality team, he has suddenly bolted for Texas. And when reporters discovered that the Secretary of State's schedule was blank, they asked a State Department spokeswoman, Heather Nauert, hey, where's Rex? She said, oh, he went home to Texas. Take a little time off. Well, before he did, he leaked through third parties to Reuters and other outlets. He is making it clear that he's increasingly frustrated with the White House. He is at the point of resigning. He's unhappy with Trump's public bashing of Attorney General Sessions and the U.S. foreign policy toward Iran and the delayed appointment of key State Department nominees. Politico reports that friends of Tillerson say he feels like he is not being allowed to do his job. He is no longer wedded to the idea of staying on for at least a year. He's upset at not having autonomy, independence, and control over his own department. Only 10 of the 128 positions in the State Department have been filled. And so Trump may lose a couple of cabinet officers. And we've just passed the six-month march of of this administration. In addition, Tillerson has told others, I didn't want this job. I didn't seek it. My wife told me I'm supposed to do this. Yeah. Motivated, dedicated. Rexxon Tillerson. Every day I like to pause for a second and thank the people who support my work here at the Peter B. Collins Podcast with your subscriptions. People like Cheryl Fleming, Terry Paris, Dick Attlee, and Billy Cook. They're all generous subscribers, and I invite you to join them, too. Come on over to peterbcollins.com, click on Menu and pull it down, then choose Become a Subscriber. That takes you to the sign-up page, and in a couple of minutes, you can choose a level of support that's comfortable for you and your budget. And I invite you to do so. I could use the support. Here's another kind of dictatorial move on Trump's part. There is an internal struggle at the White House and the National Security Council about what to do about the whatever war in Afghanistan. The New York Times, without any kind of attribution, describes Trump as deeply skeptical about sending more American troops to Afghanistan. But the current president of Afghanistan, reversing a position he took with the Obama administration, is dangling access to mineral rights in Afghanistan as a way to get Trump to stay involved. And President Ghani has initiated conversations with the Trump White House and is promoting Afghanistan's mineral wealth. Now, that's pretty dangerous because Trump has said that he regrets that the United States did not seize the oil of Iraq when we were occupying that country. And the other angle of this is profiteering for his cronies, because Steve Feinberg, who is a billionaire financier who owns or at least controls DynCorp International, a big military contractor, well, he's angling to privatize the war in Afghanistan and use his mercenaries and maybe some Blackwater veterans or alumni to manage the American military operation. That kind of outsourcing would be unprecedented and bizarre, in my opinion. But Feinberg could make a killing on that and maybe, too, get in on the extraction and exploitation, the theft of natural resources from Afghanistan as a way of justifying America's continued role there. The sanctions package has passed the House of Representatives. Only 3 members voted against it, so 419 in favor. That is certainly a veto-proof, so Trump really doesn't have an option to veto the sanctions. The one issue that has cropped up here is that the House version includes sanctions against Russia, Iran, and North Korea, but the Senate version only focuses, I believe, on Russia and Iran. So there will be some negotiating in a conference committee before these sanctions can reach the president's desk. But it does seem to be a done deal, and as I've pointed out several times, I think it's a really dumb deal, because we're imposing sanctions where there is no public proof, there is no public evidence that Russia, in fact, interfered in our elections last year. So now we get to John McCain and the healthcare debate, the Senate debate over how to take down Obamacare that was enabled by McCain yesterday. He returned from Arizona in a private jet, showed up with his surgery scars visible on the Senate floor, and he moved into maverick mode as he lectured his colleagues on, you know, stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on radio, television, and the Internet. To hell with them. And then he called on them to put aside their partisan differences. He was trying to really, leave a legacy as a statesman. But, you know, John McCain, the maverick thing gets pretty old. And it's so hypocritical that a man who had his brain cancer diagnosis and surgery paid for by health insurance under Obamacare would take a private jet back to Washington to cast the pivotal vote that reopened debate, and it's a whole can of worms. We have no idea where this is going to lead. And while McCain has said that he won't vote for the measures that are currently there, and we'll get to it in a moment, he actually followed through on that. He's a poser. And he's also a dangerous hawk who has advocated war with Iran for years and many other dangerous moves in Syria, in Iraq, and elsewhere. And I recognize the history of John McCain, but even the Vietnam POW story is embellished. And he's been a lousy senator from Arizona. He should have been thrown out when he got caught taking money from Charlie Keating back in the 1980s, but he is still there. So today, the Senate rejected a proposal to repeal major parts of the Affordable Care Act without providing a replacement. And the vote was surprising, 45-55. Seven Republicans voted against the measure. Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia; Susan Collins, Maine; Dean Heller, Nevada; John McCain, Arizona; Rob Portman, Ohio; Lamar Alexander, Tennessee; and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. That shows that Mitch McConnell probably doesn't have the votes, even for what they call the skinny repeal. They just want some scalp material to show their voters, who they promised for years that they would repeal Obamacare, that they did something. But the bottom line is, by the end of this week, Democrats will have offered and lost on hundreds of amendments to whatever bill, if we're still not sure, is in play on the Senate floor. And we may see this process come up with absolutely nothing except the injection of more chaos into the healthcare system in this country and the insurance markets. And by the way, John McCain is not the only person battling cancer. Mazie Hirono, the relatively new senator from Hawaii, is a cancer patient right now. And yesterday, in the morning, before she went to the Senate to vote, she had surgery to remove a lesion on her ribs. So we have senators who are using health care. Why do they want to take it away from people who can ill afford to lose it? And Trump continues his hectoring via tweet. He hammered Lisa Murkowski for voting against one of the bills last night, saying that she let our country down. Well, she doesn't need Donald Trump. She doesn't even need the Republican Party. She ran as a write-in candidate last time and beat the Tea Party guy who beat her in the primary. Now, one of the questions that surfaces from that pivotal vote yesterday, where they got 50 votes to open debate and Vice President Pence cast the tie-breaking 51st vote. Well, the guy who held out the longest was Wisconsin Republican Ron Johnson. He didn't vote in order. And it's unclear what he extracted from Mitch McConnell to get him to vote to open debate. But I think he is one to watch because he's a slippery kind of guy. I'm very disappointed to tell you that a federal judge in Maryland has dismissed the class action suit brought against the KBR contractor by veterans and family members who argue that the military's use of open burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan left them with serious illnesses. And again, I praise the work of Joe Hickman, who has appeared on our program several times. His book, The Burn Pits, helped expose this problem. And if you want to become a new annual subscriber, I still have a couple of copies of The Burn Pits. I'd be happy to share with you as your bonus book. Anyway, I firmly believe these soldiers. They were exposed to toxic smoke and other effluent that affected their respiratory and other systems. And the military claims that they are beyond the courts. Any order the military gives in a war zone is above and beyond the review of the justice system. I don't agree with that, and I know it's a precedent that's been established, but it allows them to put our soldiers at risk and face no liability whatsoever. So the judge established that and then let KBR off because, after all, it was the immunized military leaders who ordered KBR to operate these burn pits. This is another catch-22. And people are going to die as a result. The state of Israel has barred entry to five American interfaith leaders. They're Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, and their sin that makes them ineligible for entry into Israel is that the state of Israel believes that they are supporters of boycott, divestment, and sanctions. The five American leaders were from Jewish Voice for Peace, American Muslims for Palestine, and the Presbyterian Peace Fellowship. And what's unusual is that these people were not turned away when they arrived in Tel Aviv. They were notified before they left Washington that they would not be permitted to fly all the way to Israel. And I think that shows complicity in this silencing of critics by our government at the behest of the Israelis. And finally today, I occasionally go to Snopes.com to see if something I've seen on the internet is considered true or false. And while I don't give Snopes a 100% rating, they are accurate more often than they're not. And Snopes is in a pickle right now, and it's hard to know who to believe, because Snopes is operated by a company called Bardav, and it was owned by David Mickelson and his ex-wife. The ex-wife sold her share to a company called Proper Media, the vendor that runs ads on the Snopes website, and that's their source of revenue. Well, David Mickelson went public with a crowdfunding request and raised $500,000 in one day. But did he tell the truth when he claimed that the vendor had refused to properly pay revenue that was due so that he could pay his employees? It's complicated, and I've linked to the story that the New York Times published today, which explains this dispute. And the bottom line for me is that, even people who say they are fact checkers and they always tell the truth, be a little skeptical, will you? Thanks for joining me for my News and Comment Daily podcast. I'm going to remember to click three times so you'll be able to find this on YouTube. I'm Peter B.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.